Well, I was born in a non-Christian family, and some of the distinct memories I have are the conversion of my folks and the noticeable change that took about in their lives. And this was when I was at the age of 5. And it really carried an importance to me as I grew up. And then the importance of going to church and hearing what I heard in church, and always keeping in memory the change that took about in my parents' life. God using that brought me to a conversion at the age of 9. And the heritage I had through the church was in light of the intake of the Word of God and the necessity of having a fervent prayer life. And I met, when I was going to college, since I'd been taught that the Scriptures did show the will of God for my life, I really sought through the Scriptures to find God's will for my life. It was real frustrating for me because I never could see any direction as I looked and searched in the Scriptures. And the second thing I was seeking was a wife that God had for me. And the first thing I met was Verlene, and I didn't date very much, maybe 3 or 4 times, just on fun dates, until I was 22. And I met Verlene and really felt a sense in my heart at that time that this was the person that God had for me. Just no reason other than it was just an inner voice that had affirmed that for me. And our relationship was basically centered around church activities. And then after we got married, we met some real crisis in our life. Because I was still in a pursuit of trying to find God's purpose and will and direction in my life. It was just a dilemma. I didn't know what to do. And we really reached a point of turning in our life after we'd been married 3 years. I mean, it was just a real crux, because I just threw my hands up. I just didn't know. I was rebellious. I wasn't going to church. God wouldn't tell me, and I just kind of left him alone. So that was kind of my background. My father had a tremendous knowledge of the Scriptures. I was really amazed at what he had that was in memory. I'd ask him a question. He'd say, "Well, are you speaking about this over in such and such a place? And or are you speaking about the example over here?" And that was really kind of profounding to me. And he had told me that as he and his brothers were growing up, they used to sit around the campfire at night, and they'd take a passage of Scripture, and they'd take turns preaching to one another. And they did this. They herded sheep up in the mountains, and this is what they did at nights around the campfire. And I think another interesting thing where Brett and I both feel that God had a special purpose for us was because of my mother's physical condition, the doctor told her she'd never have any children. And they never expected to have any children. But God saw fit that Brett and I both come into the world. And it's been an encouragement to them to know that there was a specific purpose. Because I know several months ago talking to my dad, he expressed the concern. He said, "I don't know why I was ever born." And we were talking about some of the bitterness back in his early childhood. And I had an opportunity to share that encouragement of hope with him. And through some other circumstances, God dealt with the bitterness in his life. Now you can share this.
Well, I was born into a home. My parents were both Christians. And they took us to church and emphasized to us the importance of reading the Bible and praying. And as I was a child, I always read my Bible, but I didn't really have much of a heart to seek God, I guess. Although at the age of 9, I gave my heart to Christ at a revival meeting. And then as I grew up, I continued to read my Bible and have this devotional time. But I didn't really do much growing as far as Christian life because I just didn't have that input into my life yet until much later. And my parents had a family worship. We called it a family altar in the mornings, like after breakfast, before we go to school, before everybody was off to different places. And this was a meaningful time in our family. And I believe that although I didn't know really how to seek God, and too much about deepening my spiritual life, that I did have a desire to do what God wanted me to do, because my parents had set that foundation, for me. And then as I became in contact with some people who were able to help me, with deepening these things in my life, then I was able to grasp onto it and, apply those things. And one of the things that helped both of us when we married, before we married, both of our parents told us that when we had problems, that we had to work them out ourselves, that we couldn't run back and, say, it's just not working out and we need help, this sort of thing. And I think that really helped us to commit ourselves to each other. It made a very strong basis for our marriage, in that we knew that we were going to have problems and that we were going to have to work them out ourselves.
Well, we really had a problem, as we had basically no communication, spiritual, or any ability to converse about the real us. And this really reached a crucial point at the end of our third year of marriage. And it was at this time that God introduced Max and Sandra into our life. And they just shared the meaningful things of scripture memory, having a personal relationship with Christ, and really deepening ourselves in a study in the scripture. And I wasn't real impressed at first, but in the following month, God really put some pressure on me. And it was through that pressure that I made an agreement with him that I would give my life over to him for 8 months. And everything I did would be done in light of him. And that I would seek to learn all I possibly could about him and his person and his character. And during the 8 months, it turned my life around. And for the first time, I really saw the person of Christ, the living Christ, who had never been anything more than just something in my imagination and something in my thoughts. And I found out that I could converse with him and talk with him and seek guidance with him and counsel, and he would answer and talk and speak to me and encourage me. And just in looking back through the scriptures to take our life from that point and what I think and see that he's done in our life, I ran into a unique illustration last week when Brett and I were in Hearst, Texas. We were looking at this new building that this church was building. It was as big as this lodge, and it was one solid piece of concrete. It had no seams in it. And he told me, he said, "And you know you can crawl underneath this concrete slab." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes." He said, it's posted on beams, and the beams are set on pilings or piers, and they're 3 foot wide at the bottom, and they're 1 foot narrow at the top. And this building rests like a bridge on little steel rollers, and as the pierings move with the earth, the rollers move, but the concrete slab never does. And therefore, it'll never crack or settle or anything happen to it. And I think that really illustrates the three things that we've found so important to our marriage, our relationship, and what we do with our children. Because we've met circumstances in our life where the foundations that we had so much relied on cracked and kind of crumbled. And I've come to realize that these piers in our life weren't strong enough. And my uncle had something interesting happen to him. He built a large building for Goodyear, in which in the concrete foundation all the hydraulic lines and air pipes and water pipes and everything were poured into this concrete slab. It sat on pilings on top of the ground, and the testing engineers went in and tested the strength of the pilings and found out that the contractors had cut the strength of the pilings short, and they wouldn't do. The building may have operated 7 years, 8 years, but somewhere in there, the foundations would have cracked and everything in it would have come loose. They would have had to have torn everything down and rebuilt it. So I feel like that's something that happened in our life, that the pierings or the footings of our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, our relationship with our children weren't strong enough to support the building we were building on the foundation of our relationship and walk with Christ. Like Verlene said, our stability depends upon our will commitment one to another. And without that will commitment, I don't think two people can work out problems and just keep themselves together. And I think the same thing's true in my relationship with Jesus Christ, that without that will commitment, I can't work out my problems with Him and go through the stresses and strains and the trials that we encounter. And another thing that was interesting, or I think is interesting, about these piers or these footings, they're not visible. when you see a building, you never see these things that are deep in the ground. They may be 12 foot deep, but they reach down and they support. And I think that the footings, looking in Acts 17:24, that the footing in our life is the Father, in our relationship to the Father, and how we continually work on that relationship increases the size of our footings, which enables us to build larger buildings upon our foundation. And where we've seen some of the things that we've built crumble has been because we have neglected this area of worship and glorification of the majesty and the grandeur of our Heavenly Father. It says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gave to all men life and breath and everything. And he made from one every nation of men to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him. Yet he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." And God spoke to me in this scripture in verse 28, showing me that there is a definite separation from my worldly life into a heavenly life, and that he did have purpose, and that there was knowledge. And it was at this time in this verse that God really revelated to me that I had a purpose for being created. The second thing about this, the foundation that sits on these piers, we found out that our foundation is in the person of Jesus Christ. We haven't got time to go over all the scripture. In 1 Peter 1:13, and also in the second chapter, we learned that we don't follow by rules, but we follow by spiritual revelation. That it's not the facts that we can accumulate about him or what he did, but the issue is who he is. He's the Son of the living God, and he's God's expression of love to us. I found five things that I really feel are essential in this foundation. And I think one of them is in trust, our ability to trust, or that's synonymous with faith. And I think I discovered that in my relationship with Verlaine, that as we were growing, we reached a point where I found that Verlaine didn't really trust me because I wasn't a trustworthy person. And because I didn't have trust relationships, I really had an inability to trust God. But as I learned to become trustworthy through meaning what I said and doing what I said, and as Verlaine began to respond to me as being a trustworthy person, I saw my place in my relationship with Christ Jesus, that He was always consistent. He meant what He said, and He always did what He said. The second thing is truth. Found that truth gives us freedom to do all the Father wants us to do. John 17:7 and in 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, he talks about the freedom of truth. John 8:3 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The third thing is consistency. And this passes on down into the relationships with our children, that saying what we mean and meaning what we say is extremely important just in our lives together, but it's extremely important in our display of the character of the person of Christ to those around us. And I think the product of consistency that we've found is it gives us a real stability. Discipline, out of chapter 12 of Hebrews, we have found out that the discipline of Christ in our life has produced self-control, and that as we discipline our children, we see the product of self-control. And the disciplines aren't very many, they're few, because we feel like it's more important to be consistent in our discipline and have three rules that we can enforce faithfully than to have 12 that we do on and off. And this is really built, and this discipline has really built a trust in our children's life and us. We're trustworthy, we mean what we say. And we found this same thing in our relationship with Christ, that His discipline has really created a trust in Him. And I think the last thing on this foundation is love. Love is a very fragile thing. It's very tender. So it's something that we have got to constantly work at maintaining and constantly work at protecting if it's going to survive in relationship. Not only ours, our children's, but also our relationship with Christ. I found out that when life becomes full of activity and that there's no time for romancing, and there's no time to sit and talk, and I forget how to talk, how to interrelate, that this really shatters love. And it's really a hard thing to reestablish and build, because the patterns of doing other things and beginning to push this constant working with love relationship back is real easy, and the recovery of it is very difficult. The last thing is the building that's built on the foundation. I think it's threefold. What Christ builds in my relationship with Berlin, is carried on into what we build into the lives of our children, or what we build into the lives of those that are around us. So it's important in our building that we're continuously observing what's being built on our inner self, and always being aware of the fact that what we're building on our inner self will be produced in the lives of others. And this was really a very shaking thing to me, you know, because my eyes were more on my outer than my inner. And it really became apparent to us as we begin to listen to our children. And we'd see things in our children, and we'd try to correct those things. And as we began to look at our own hearts and our own lives, we found out that they were merely reflections of what was in us. And so when we wanted to correct what was out here, we had to come back to our relationship, find out where it was weak, go before the Lord and ask Him to correct and minister and build character where we had weakness. As we did this and we began to see change in our life and these things that were so abrasive to us from our children, we begin to see the changes in their life. So we really looked at our children as being mirrors of what we are, and they really show us more of the inner person than we're willing to pull the mask off and look at, I believe. So we really feel that the building that's built on the foundation of the person of Christ is something that has to be wrought in our life by the Holy Spirit. It comes by spiritual revelation and not the things of the world or the way of the world. And we look at these things, the time alone with God, meditation, prayer, scripture memory, the things that are so important to spiritual relationships. And I wish I had time to go through the passages of Scripture where God has really given us some insight in what Verlene's going to share about what we feel about our input into the lives of our children, looking at this picture that right now we want to build some peers in their life as well as, well, so when the foundation's laid, it'll have something really solid to rest on. And in Acts 1:7 it says, is the beginning in truth? Proverbs, is that it? 1:7. It's Proverbs 1:7, I'm sorry. In the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And as we begin to look to see what this reverence or this awing or this majesty of God is, and what we want to teach our children it to be, His holiness, His majesty. And going on over into Isaiah 28, and then on into the New Testament, seeing what milk is, what are the premises of a person coming to spiritual maturity. I've come to the conclusion that one of the most important things is that we need to teach them the difference in the world and the world to come, so that their dependency is on God, His voice, what He says, His commands, that they learn to be obedient without question. And these are the foundations we're working, I mean the peerings we were working on in their lives now, so that as Chris grows up, he has something that we've struggled to obtain because of our age and our lack of teachability, and just an awareness that will really give some stability when he comes to know the Lord Jesus. And that foundation can be laid on something that's really strong in the base of his life.
Well, one of the scriptures that was brought to our attention several years ago was Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these things which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And then it goes on to say, you shall talk of them as you walk by the way, and when you sit down, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And so we, in our home, we try to take advantage of every opportunity that we see that we can draw a spiritual principle out of, or relate it to it, you know, an application that they can pick up. And one experience recently was with our daughter, who's 9, and she had some friends that she really admired and liked so much, but they rejected her, and they made a little fun of her about something, you know, and she was really hurt. And so we talked with her about it, and of course we found out, naturally, she wanted to get back at him. She wanted to revenge. And so Bill was able to share with her about how God wants us to do good instead of evil, do good for evil instead of never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's in Romans 12. And then another experience that just happened recently with our son, who's 5. He just acquired a new friend that lived down the street. And this little friend was not from a Christian home. And he was picking up some naughty words from this little boy. And, of course, we didn't know quite what to do about it. And I was just really disturbed about it. And we didn't feel like we could forbid him to play with this little boy because they lived on the same street. And we knew there was some other way to deal with it. So one morning, I was just praying about it, and the Lord just showed me that it wasn't something that was within him that was, because he didn't know even what they meant, really. He asked me, you know, what does this word mean? And he didn't even know what the word meant, but he'd heard it, and he thought, you know, I'll say it. So the Holy Spirit just revealed to me that it was something that we should rebuke whenever this happened, just to rebuke the spirit that was influencing him to say this. And so a few days later, we were sitting at the kitchen table, and Chris and I were playing a Bible game, and something happened, and he said one of these words. And I said, Chris, do you know that's not a nice word? And he said, yes. And I said, well, what do you think it is that makes you say that word? And he said, it's the devil. And so I said, well, Chris, is there something inside of you that tells you that it's not nice to say that, or that you shouldn't say that? And he said, yes. And I said, well, what do you think that is? And he said, it's God. And so that was just really encouraging to me, you know, that he knew the difference between the voice of the evil one and the voice of God. And I don't know, I guess that was all I wanted to share.
And the thing that we determined at this point just in searching. And I was out at the place working, and Verlene was at home. We both had the very same instruction. And we didn't want to cause it to become suppressed through punishment and forbidding it, because we want the children to be free so we know what's going on in their life and to have the opportunity to build, strengthen their character. And I think the verse that talks about becoming, that he used this morning about becoming waxed in spirit, strong in spirit, that this is what the Holy Spirit showed us, that we didn't need to minister to them outwardly, but we needed to come in and work and help build and create a strength in their spirit. So by doing that, then we have to address or approach the spiritual plane in their life, and to help build this strength in their spirit, we want to build the strength of obedience in their life, that if God says something to them, it's just automatic that they will forbid whatever else is tampering with their thoughts or trying to make inroads. Another thing we felt, that this was just one of Satan's devices to get some footholds in their life, so that in later years that he'd have some accessibility to them. And I just really praise the Lord for the fact that this was revealed to us, and that as we sought him, that he did show us the truth. He showed us the means by which we could make the correction. And it wasn't what we, in our initial thinking, had thought about. But as we sought him, we saw the truth of our thoughts aren't his, and our ways aren't his either. But we feel like in our life where we are today, where we're still struggling and working, is in most part working to really build strength in these footings, in these foundations of knowing the Father, knowing who he is, and having a real vivid personal encounter with him. And then really working through Jesus, who's the mediator to the Heavenly Father, allowing him and the Holy Spirit to teach and revelate and work in our life and cause us to become stronger, to give us the awareness of what we're building with, because it's really freaky to me. But I had an example too of how trustworthy the Lord is, and something that I thought was a complete flop, but saw the fruit and how faithful he is to carry out his ministry regardless of what, when, and where. Is there's a young man here who's on the kitchen staff that 6 years ago was in my high school Bible study. That was, it just lasted a year, and he went off to OSU, and it was a non-committal study, and I just thought it was a flop. But he went to school and graduated, formed his own business, was had an income of $30,000 a year, had a sailboat, convertible, big apartment, and through his contact with the NAVS and the work at the BSU, he decided that what he was doing wasn't what God wanted him to do. And he sold all this. I mean, he said he gave it away. He didn't sell it, he gave it away. And he's here now for training. He's a young man that wants to go to Venezuela to be a missionary over there. So we see the faithfulness of God's work in light of our inabilities and what we don't see externally, but yet that small light of hope that's placed in a person's life and how God builds.